Welcome to The Worst Week Yet, the least informed podcast on the left. It's a podcast where every week we lie about smoking crack on one little form, and now we're going to jail? I thought this was America. I'm your host, Andrew Hillary, and I am joined today by my good friend, longtime friend, my most times co-host, Dee Dee Rose Deanna. What's up?
Oftentimes co-host. I've been slacking lately, but I'm here today.
Semi-regular.
I'm always irregular, even when I'm here. Unusual at best.
My unusual co-host, Deanna. It's good to have you here. It's good to have you here in the new apartment. That's right. I've changed locations. Whoever's doing my real-time assassination coordinates, their job just got, I mean, not that much harder. They just have to change one thing, but get to work.
But they've got to update forms. And as we just found out, if you make a mistake on a form, you go to jail. So.
And we're going to talk about going to jail. And we'll be talking about that with our friend Kennedy. Kennedy, also most times co-host.
More times co-host,
more
honestly.
More times co-host.
Only lately. There have been other times.
Yeah, there were times when I was the more times co-host. Remember when it was a competition and then we realized that being on this podcast more often meant we were both losers? That was fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Winning the competition.
The more you're on this podcast, the more you hear about the awful news.
The news is not good.
The news is bad. We are going to talk about news, but first, we have to talk about something else.
No, we don't. No. We don't have to do anything.
We don't have to, but we're going to because we love these people. We love them. Yes, they are our patrons. That's right. We have a Patreon.
We have a Patreon?
We have a Patreon and patrons. Fuck yeah.
We have some committed patrons.
We do. Some patrons that should be committed. I'm no one's doctor.
The Venn diagram is a flat earth.
It's a frisbee that I lost in my yard.
Someone was talking about the saying all four corners of the globe or whatever. So I want to do the earth isn't just flat. It's also a square. Have you ever seen a circle map? No, they're all square. The earth is a square.
I've seen, you know what? Never mind.
Shut the fuck up, Deanna.
You know what? It's fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's great. Patreon.com/worstweekyet. If you give $10 a month, we say your name. So thank you to Chauncey Yonders, Terminally Online Leftist, Zap Actions Down, and Mega Force Base, Nandy Angelus, Old Hobgoblin, Dragula 206, AJ from Baltimore, The Man in the West, Optimus Crime, Pablo Hummus, Goblin Mode, Andrea Humphrey, You Fuck Like My Dad, Josh Drupin, Why Not I Pay More for OnlyFans, Brienne, Nick Adams, Parentheses, Alpha Male, It Nooks, and CIA Brain Bugs. Patreon.com/worstweekyet. Okay, wait.
But every time you read the list, it sounds like you're accusing Andrea Humphrey of fucking like your dad.
Maybe I am.
Andrea Humphrey, you fuck like my dad. It's a lot.
We don't know. I mean,
we don't know. Andrea Humphrey might fuck like your dad. I don't actually want to find out.
Can you imagine you're in a breakup situation and somebody says that to you? I never loved you anyway. You fuck like my dad.
You know, there's most times breakups, like, it's hard to say who wins or loses. But if somebody says that to you, you lost the breakup.
Okay, but here's the thing. You fuck like my dad. I mean, at some point, my dad fucked. And then I came along. Like, I was produced.
Oh, okay, wait.
So you fuck like my dad means you made me... Come? I don't...
No, you fuck like my dad means that you have sex in a way that you can tell that it's a mistake somewhere in there.
Happy Father's Day,
fuck like my dad means happy Father's Day, first of all. But you fuck like my dad means you fuck with socks on. Okay, let's move on.
Don't talk about my dad that way, okay? I actually don't know, but I don't think my mom would allow that. Nandy Angelus would not accept that behavior.
You fuck like my dad
means... Nandy Angelus, right...
I'm going to see Nandy Angelus after this. I'll ask her. I'm going to roll up to the Father's Day pool party. What's up? Did dad fuck with socks on?
Man, I feel like you're going to learn some things you don't want to know today, Deanna.
The answers could shock you.
I feel like I'm going to bring a certain asking questions about my parents fucking to the Father's Day pool party that the Father's Day pool party isn't really going to like.
I just want to get this out because it's in my head. You fuck like my dad means you fuck in a way that could possibly lead to 36 years of constant regret. Okay.
You fuck like my dad means that you are inflicting suffering on another person for
generational
no
trauma. Yeah. Okay, so you know, we do have news to talk about, but I want to begin. We don't always do this. I want to ask the two of you a hypothetical question.
Ooh, I love when we have little games, little side quests in the cast.
Yeah. This was inspired by a future former president, which Donald Trump. He's been playing a lot of the hits on the campaign trail recently. And he's been doing this story or this bit. I don't even know. This dude wants to be a stand-up so bad. But I want to ask the two of you what you think, because I know his answer, but I want to see what the two of you think. So here's the situation. If you were on an electric boat that had a big giant battery and that boat started sinking and you knew that you could get electrocuted from the battery in the water, but there was a shark in the water about 10 meters away, would you choose to be electrocuted or would you take your chances with the shark?
I'm picking the bear. Is the bear an option here again?
No, this is the new version of the bear versus the man. Are we picking the boat battery or the shark?
Is the shark actually a shark or is it Donald Trump with a fin? Because then I'm...
This is a stupid question, but it is straightforward as could be.
Okay.
Nothing is secretly something else.
It's Pride Month and this is a hate crime. Stop trying to make us straightforward.
I'm taking my chances with the shark.
Okay.
I'm going to go shark also because I'm a cutie and I think sharks like that.
That's kind of where my head was at.
I knew Kennedy was like, I'm cute enough. Like, Kennedy and I were both like, I'm going to go out there with my cute ass and befriend that shark. I'm going to ride that shark back to shore, actually. It's going to let me hold on to its fin and just scoot me back to safety.
Me and the shark are besties now. Okay, yeah. Listen. Here's what I know about sharks is that sharks have a bit of a bad reputation. They don't attack people that much. In fact, you know, for all the like horrifying stories that you hear about sharks, there's like people having magical experiences with sharks
and
once
in
a while.
And in this way, myself and like, sharks are similar.
You know, you don't get those stories as much in the news of like, hey, somebody like hung out with a shark and it was fine and it was cool. Like,
I saw a story in the New York Post that this guy lent this shark $20 15 years ago, and he sees the shark every weekend. And the shark's every single weekend, the shark's like, oh, I don't have it right now, but catch me next week. I got you.
I mean, hasn't the shark ever bought him like a beer or anything? Like, can these people chill?
That's $20 in 2004 money. Okay. That's like $3 million in 2024 money with inflation the way it is.
Yeah. Or like 4 Bitcoin.
Shark bucks.
So
I feel like there's a cryptocurrency called shark fin.
But anyways,
So sharks get a bad reputation, but they're not as bad as they seem. They do attack people. They are dangerous. I'm not trying to say like, oh, fuck around and find out with sharks.
Here's the thing, Kennedy,
to our listeners,
you may not realize this, but you are actually playing directly into Donald Trump's fucking narrative on this, because what he's doing is he's bringing this back because there's been like an increase in shark attacks in Florida this year. And that's like, there's been two and there's normally one. Like, it's not anything crazy, but technically it's an increase, you know?
I like it. The orcas were like, let's get the rich people. Let's get the rich Republicans. And sharks in Florida were like, we'll get the poor Republicans. They're doing it.
Well, hold on. Hear me out. So what Donald Trump is doing, because he was doing this, would you choose the shark or electrocution bit? He was doing it for a while last year, but he's brought it back, and his spin on it, his new thing that he's doing in the bit, is he's saying, And the liberals will say, you know, the shark doesn't know what it's doing. It's not even hungry. It's not trying to eat the lady. It just doesn't understand. Like, he's basically saying that liberals are trying to, like, make sharks. They're trying to, like, do DEI for sharks or something. They're like, no, sharks actually aren't bad. Like, they don't mean to hurt people. Like,
here's the thing.
He's like, if I was president, we'd throw all the sharks in jail.
In my lived experience, I've had some bad experiences with batteries. I've had a bad time with batteries, but I've never had a bad time with a shark. And so I think I should just give the shark a chance. Like, if I could die either way, why would I rely on something that has betrayed me before? Might as well try something new.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel you. I've been electrocuted. It hurts.
Yeah. That's not cool.
Being electrocuted fucking sucks. Okay, here's where I stand.
I think being electrocuted might fix me.
I don't exactly agree with Donald Trump. But first of all, if any president actually did say, unironically and not as a metaphor, if I'm elected president, I will throw all the sharks in jail, I would be very interested to learn more about that person.
Yeah, I may not vote for you, but I'm going to tune into your speech.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not promising to vote for that person. I want to be really clear about that.
But I'd hear you out and chuckle a little.
I do want to let you cook that one a little bit longer. I want to see what you. I want to see what comes out of that kitchen. You know?
I also need to say. Oh, go ahead.
Yes. No. Go ahead.
I don't know. My ADHD is fighting some wars up here because I want to make like a West Side Story joke about like if you throw the sharks in jail, what about the Jets? I also kind of wanted to make a sports joke about the San Jose Sharks and the New York Jets, and I just didn't know what to do. So fridge magnets, you make it funny. Here's the pieces. You write your own joke.
And listeners, while you're putting that joke together, don't forget Jets, New York, 9/11. Just throw that in there.
The Sharks did 9/11 to get back at the Jets. That's the West Side Story of it all. The San Jose Sharks did 9/11 to get back at the New York Jets.
Wow.
Wow. The moral of the story, as far as I'm concerned, is just that I'm not saying that sharks are safe. I'm not even saying if a shark eats you, they didn't mean it. If a shark eats you, they meant it. Okay.
Yeah. What did you do to the shark? Personal. Not to victim blame, but like... Maybe the shark was the real victim. How much did you have to drink?
I'm not saying it was personal. I'm just saying that shark was like, I'm going to eat the fuck out of that person and then ate you. Like, that's what happened. All right? Actually, factually.
Here's the thing. If you came to my house and I was minding my own business and you just started splashing the fuck around, I might also bite you. And if you tasted good, I might fucking eat you. I don't know.
It's actually legal to consume a human being if they're wearing a wetsuit.
At your house? Yeah, for sure.
House rule.
Now, on the other hand, this is what's critical here. Do you ever make friends with electricity? I'm going to pick this person to like cuddle with instead of zap the fuck out of.
That was what I was getting at. Electricity has wronged me. A battery has wronged me. A shark has been known to wrong others, but I personally have never had a bad experience with a shark.
Deanna, you're doing a shark pick me right now?
Yeah. That's what I'm going with for the day.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's daddy issues, I think.
Daddy shark. Bump, 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 bump.
There's a whole song. That's Baby Shark is a song about generational trauma. Hear me out.
And electric sharks. Okay.
Wow.
Well,
wow.
Androids dream of electric sharks?
Anyways.
So anyways. Sign up on patreon.com/worstweekyet to hear more of this kind of spirited debates about things that make even less sense and are even less important than this.
So our next story, folks, we got him. The justice system, you know, we were talking last week about how, you know, Lady Liberty, she's gone off a rocker, that the scales of justice have tipped into the sea. But, you know, balance has been restored. This week, Hunter Biden has been found guilty on all accounts. That's right. Hunter Biden, He bought a gun while doing crack.
Good for him. Or bad. Hunter.
I mean, bad for him in this case because he got caught and he's in trouble. So, you know.
Yeah, definitely bad for him in this case.
Not a good for him in this situation in particular, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know.
On the other hand, there is no other hand. He's
yeah, fucked. I was like, what other
he's
hand?
Fucked. A friend
this
of
is
mine
a terrible
know.
Situation for Hunter Biden. He's a privileged white boy, so like, I don't feel the worst for him that I've ever felt. But you know how sometimes I'll be like, I'm a prison abolitionist, but let Alex Jones out last or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, Hunter
that
Biden.
That was a great
Hunter
Kennedy
Biden,
impression, by the way.
Hunter Biden can get out on a normal schedule of prison abolition. Just for the record,
Hunter Biden
he is not in a weird doghouse of criminal justice.
Yeah, when we abolish prison,
of what his father did with the crime bills, we can't hold Hunter Biden accountable for that.
Again, yeah. Generational trauma. It's Father's Day, Joe. What the fuck? Hunter Biden has probably asked what the fuck Joe Biden more often than any of us.
You know?
Like, and honestly, sometimes when I think about things Joe Biden is doing or has done or may do in the future, I often think, Jesus, this is so fucked. I would love to smoke some crack about this. So I really understand how Hunter has gotten to where he is.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never... Here's the thing is that this his sentencing happens in October. So like Joe Biden could go in and pardon him. But like if he does it that close to the election, like just the optics of like Biden crime family, like he's not going to do it. So like the judge in this is like a very pro-Trump judge. So there's a decent chance Hunter might actually get sentenced to prison and might actually be in prison on the election or on the day of the election. Cause like it win or lose, Joe Biden will pardon Hunter after the election, but he can't do it before, you know? So this will be interesting. Here's the thing. I don't know exactly how prison works, but if you've got the biggest dick of in the jail, I think you're doing okay.
If Joe pardons Hunter, okay, fine. If Joe pardons everyone in prison for crack-related offenses, that would be fucking lit. Just saying, Joe Biden. Just saying. So, you know, if he pardons Hunter before Election Day, it's going to be bad optics. But what if Joe Biden legalized all drugs before Election Day? This isn't going to happen. But I'm just saying, Joe, you've got an opportunity, buddy.
You know what else would be like cool? Like, still not great for Hunter. Sorry, Hunter. But if Joe Biden found someone who was convicted of the same crime as Hunter and then pardoned that person.
Oh, and then they swap names.
Oh, it would be unnecessary,
we should do
but
like
fun.
A face-off scenario.
Yeah, I think that they could really jazz this up. They could do a lot with this. 90s screenwriters could really get this plot line popping.
Where's Jerry Bruckheimer these days?
Dick Wolf, get involved.
Dick Wolf.
Happy Father's Day to Ultimate Daddy Dick Wolf.
Happy Father's Day to Chaim Saban and Shuki Levy.
While we're on the subject of the Biden crime family, there's another Biden that was maybe less in the news this week, but I would say even more guilty, and that is Commander Biden. Uh-oh, my president, Commander. Some news outlet did a Freedom of Information Act request for the Secret Service, like, files about all the dog biting incidents, and it turned out... We were told it was up to 24 bites. It was actually 36. They just lied about it. So there were 36 biting incidents. And the other thing that was in these reports that they obtained was that there were at least three occasions where Joe Biden was present when the dog was biting a Secret Service agent and just watched, didn't try to stop
him. I like this, actually.
Wow. Joe Biden, secret communist.
Joe Biden was like, okay, Commander, that guy is always farting. He always wants to walk in front of me and he's always farting. You gotta bite him. Yeah.
The Commander just goes, ruff.
Yeah. Yeah. This is Commander was being commanded. Commander was trained for this and was doing his duty.
I think Commander would actually be a great centrist president.
I'm writing him in. I'm writing Commander in.
I want to make a Joe Biden, Joe bite him, like some kind
of Commander Biden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. We got there. We went, remember like we arrived and it was lackluster, but we did get there.
Remember when Joe was nibbling it on Jill at that press conference or whatever?
He learned it from his dad.
This is our Father's Day special, guys. Listen.
And what did Hunter learn from his dad, huh? The Biden crime family.
Mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of,
you know,
men who've learned nothing.
Most of them.
This week, this actually happened last Sunday, but I didn't hear about it till after we recorded once again. John Fetterman was speeding down the highway in, I believe, Virginia, maybe Maryland, and rear-ended another car on the highway, sending himself, his wife, and the driver of the other car to the hospital. Now, fortunately, his wife and the other driver are okay, but unfortunately, so is he.
Hmm. Did he have another stroke?
Here's the thing. No, he just was driving too fast and crashed into an old, this like 62-year-old woman was just like driving down the highway and he slammed into the back of her.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if there was like more, like I didn't know if he was trying to be like, well.
No, the whole point of me saying this was that I could do the, fortunately his wife and the other driver are okay, unfortunately so is he. I thought that that was actually going to get any reaction. Kennedy was eating chips on mute. You were waiting for there to be additional. That was the joke.
I get it now. I've arrived. I was computing. It was like a slow.
This
I was
my
buffering.
Worst week yet.
No, you have this beautiful new apartment. Like,
all right.
You're not giving floor bed vibes anymore. Okay, you're hearing a podcast recorded live in a place with curtains. All right,
curtains.
First of all, yeah, you were just getting fucked by my usual snacking during the podcast behavior. Which I know you hate, but will never change. Second of all,
like, I'm going to be late. Kennedy's going to eat a snack. That's your crack team.
If my blood sugar drops during this podcast, it's not going to be fun for anyone. Here's my issue is that as soon as you said John Fetterman, all I could think about him was going on Bill Maher this week.
He went on Bill Maher?
You don't know about this?
No.
Oh, okay. I've got the companion piece to this story.
Wow.
Okay.
So
you've got the commander piece. You're going to go bite John Fetterman.
Went on Bill Maher this week. And first of all, he basically did an I left the left type conversation, you know? And I just want to say that, first of all, I saw an article say, for some reason, he took this interview to Bill Maher, of all people. That is not shocking.
For some reason? Yeah. Whatever it could be.
Like, there
for
is
a
like
short
nobody.
List of the most obvious reasons.
There's like nobody who would more want to have that interview. Glenn Greenwald would be on the list, except that Glenn hates Israel too much, and also John Fetterman low-key gives off homophobe vibes. So I think that, you know, Bill Maher was the obvious choice. That was just hilarious on Facebook. Why did he take this to Bill? What the fuck are you talking about? He gets in this interview with Bill Maher, and he says, yeah, you know, basically in so many words, yeah, you know, getting my brain scrambled made me conservative. I Somebody's going to hear me say that and think that it sounds kind of offensive, but this is basically what he says. Like, it's so hard for me to come up with any other way to, like, shorten, to, like, condense what he said that doesn't sound kind of messed up. But this is what the fuck he said in the interview, okay? Up until now, I have tried not to play into the, like, people being like, oh, John Fetterman had a stroke and started having bad politics. But now he said it.
Wow. Oh my God, he said it.
He did say it. I mean, it's also kind of
said it.
It's kind of a hilarious thing to say, like that. Like, I used to be a normal person, but then I had a stroke, and now I'm deranged.
I mean, here's the thing: if I was deranged, and I had a stroke, I would blame it on the stroke. I would be like, no. I'm cool. It's the stroke that is the Zionist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Many strokes are, actually.
I'm a good man. It's the stroke that wants all brown people to be slaughtered. So, yeah, you know.
Blame the stroke.
You know,
don't judge me. Judge the stroke.
It's not at this point, like, it's... We've been talking as a country about, do we need to do something about, like, health fitness for elected office for some time?
No.
I think this is making a compelling case of, like, maybe if you have, like, a major brain event like that, we should just hold an election. I don't know.
We, like, need to figure out a way, like, to test elected officials for CTE or something like that.
The problem is, like, even a lot of people on the left have absorbed some amount of, like, the weird American pseudo-religious dogma about politics, where it's like anybody that gets elected is a special boy that was chosen to be there or something. And so it's like,
yeah,
we can't take that away from John. It's like, yes, the fuck we can. At any moment, we can take this away from any of these people, and we should start to, like, feel like that more often, because that's how a democracy should work.
Again, didn't you ever hear your dad say, I brought you into this world and I'll take you back out? Like, that's, we need to apply that to elected officials. We gave you that role and we'll take it back.
I agree. So
happy Father's Day, John Fetterman.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy
also,
fuck you day, John Fetterman.
I agree. Also, happy Pride. We've got a Pride story here. This is out of Idaho. Uh-oh.
Happy Daddy's Day to Idaho.
Now, I'm sure that maybe the two of you would assume that because we're talking about a story out of Idaho during Pride Month, that it's going to be some bigoted shit. And you're right. This week, a bar in Idaho called the Old State Saloon is fighting back against Pride by celebrating June as Heterosexual Awesomeness Month. Events include Hetero Male Mondays, where, quote, any heterosexual male dressed like a heterosexual male will receive a free draft beer, end quote. That, honestly, if you say heterosexual that many times, you start making me question what's actually...
Also, when you have to specify dress like a heterosexual male, it's like, what? You're the one who's always saying that, like, we're obsessed with, like, weird shit, like our hair and whatever and blah. Like, you're the one who's like, if you don't have a straight hair, if you got some... You got some faggy haircut. Apologies to the Pope. Not sorry. Letting you in here.
Sorry, Father.
You show up, though.
The Pope, the original father of Father's Day.
You show up with your Milwaukee Tools hat and your boots and your flannel, and you smell like some kind of axe 9-in-1 called Caveman Ice Dick. You're in. Free beer.
Caveman Ice Dick.
Yeah, they're all called something like that. Like guerrilla, like warfare. Why is Axe named that way? All of them.
You know, because men.
Men, yeah.
Dude wipes.
Yeah, they're like, it has to be called war or else it's for gays.
So I want to go over...
Nobody wants to hear this, but if we had real trans acceptance in this country, we would have man ponds.
True. I think
They wouldn't come in regular sizes. They would come in calibers.
You would be able to roll coal.
They would come in gauges. got my 8-gauge man pawn.
So I want to go over a couple other aspects of Heterosexual Awesomeness Month, which, by the way, dude, naming stuff, man, Heterosexual Awesomeness Month. Good God. They have Her Happy Hour Thursdays, where heterosexual women can enjoy happy hour prices all day long. Also, they are selling, or in response to the backlash, the owner said, "We still love our LGBTQ plus patrons." What?
First of all,
my biggest issue with bigots these days is that they can't help but like try and pretend that they're doing anything other than what they're doing. Here's the thing. I don't like it either way, but like, just be fucking honest about it. Don't try and both sides this shit. And that's why you see people like, anybody who does this, like why I left the left bullshit, whether it's like a politician like Fetterman or like Brianna Wu this week was saying something like, you know, a lot of conservatives, even if we disagree, like they're so much more respectful and blah, blah, blah. Like we can actually have a conversation even if we disagree. And it's like, that's because they are playing word games and lying and saying things in bad faith because they know if they're just outright bigots, that's a harder sell. Like that's the reason why you think the right is more reasonable is because they are trying to trick you and it's working.
Go ahead.
No, you go first.
Everybody go at the same time.
Everybody scream.
Okay, here we go.
I was just going to say these people in Idaho are also so wrong. What's the ladies' happy hour? Her
happy hour Thursdays. Okay,
that makes me laugh because there is a lesbian dating app that's called Her.
Ooh.
So like, I think on Her Thursdays that it should be like, you know, all the girlies on the app should show up to that bar. Be like, oh, is this not a lesbian singles event?
You said you still love your LGBTQ patrons.
And you said it was Her happy hour. We are all on that app.
Mm-hmm. They're also doing like some special where if you come in as a straight heterosexual couple, you get like 15% off your bill. They're also selling a bunch of different like t-shirts. One of them has an American flag with just the symbols for male and female. Also, they're selling another t-shirt that says beer for breeders.
That doesn't mean what they think
it
means.
People, please get help. This is not good. This is pathetic.
The bar also hosts Christian single mingle events, Bible studies on Sundays, and open carry coffee on Saturdays. So I'm like reading through all this, right? And I started getting to the point where I'm like 90% sure that this is legit. But like there, it is just every single detail is so by the book that like what would appeal to these freaks that it like I almost started like 10% coming around to being like, what if this is just some fucking like person did this in bad faith and is just kind of grifting off these people? Because here's the thing. Conservatives,
does feel AI generated.
Conservatives are not smart. Like, no. You could just say like say all the right things, quote unquote, and like the person who owns this bar, nobody knew who about this bar before. Like this wasn't a successful bar. Now they have like 50,000 Facebook or Twitter followers or something. Like they're raising money to build a new location, and they've already raised like $100,000 or something. And it's like, here's the thing. This is most likely just some bigots doing some bigot shit. But there's a possibility that this could just be like maybe even just like an LGBTQ person's like, I'm going to fucking grift some bigots. And it's small chance that's true. But if it is, goddamn, I want it to be true so bad.
we should do that. Anyway, let's move on. But here's the thing that I want to say is that, first of all, these motherfuckers are giving free beer to men, but a discount to women. I just really have to point that out.
As it should be. That's what they wrote in the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you had come to Bible study at our bar, you would have heard that.
Do you think Jesus came back with enough money to buy a beard? No, we had to give him a beard, Kennedy. Come on now.
But also, I want to play a little game with y'all.
I want to play a game.
Ooh, another sidecast. How fun.
I came up with a game.
Okay.
Let's try to brand our own straight pride month that is better than heterosexual awesome this month.
Okay.
Andrew, as our token straight, go on. What you got for us?
Yeah, you got to go first.
Here's the thing. I am, though I am straight, I am not proud of pretty much anything.
I still feel like, okay, this is the point of this exercise, though, is that none of us like this idea, but I still think if we brainstorm, we will come up with something better than heterosexual awesome this month.
Yeah, but that's just because we're creative and funny.
Straight is great month.
Wow.
That's 10 times better.
That rhymes. That doesn't sound like something that a character played by Zac Efron would have said in a movie 11 years ago.
It still makes me want to vom a little, but like much less.
Awesomeness.
Awesomeness, dude.
Even heterosexual awesome sauce, I think, would have. Yeah. Awesome sauce.
You got to at least lean in at that point. Yeah, it's got to be like heterosexual epic bacon narwhal.
Heterosexual caveman ice dick bar. Yeah, that's how things work.
Caveman ice dick. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's fucking go. This is another story about what is very much, I think this one's more obviously a grift, but again, I do kind of, in a weird way, I kind of love it, depending on how bad faith it is. Folks, the wait is finally over. Anti-woke water is here. Give it up for Freedom 2.0. That's right. It's the water bottle that says fuck you to the system.
Is this the water that upholds the system?
Well, here's the thing is that the system is actually controlled by the liberal media, by the leftist communist liberal media. So if you're drinking anti-woke water, I actually don't think you should be drinking anything other than beer. So, you know what? It's like a self-defeating prophecy, but I don't know. Let's give her a chance.
Yeah, water itself is woke. Fuck you, pussy conservatives.
Yeah.
So the company founder, Elizabeth White, she said she's giving some speech at some conservative event.
A little on the nose, don't you think? Right?
She does sound dry as fuck, actually.
She said, quote, "It's not just refreshing, it's rebellious. It is unapologetic to drink this water in public," end quote.
Why would you need to apologize for drinking any? You know what? I don't care. Fuck you, Liz White.
I'm going to say, you know, I don't have the official statistics, but I'm going to say that an overwhelming majority of the times in my life where I've drank some water, it was because I was thirsty. I was not sitting down with thirst in my being and saying, like, you know what? I do want to quench this, but I need to get my message across while doing so.
Hmm.
Once again, these are the people that always accuse us of performative politics.
Yeah. I'm sorry. You're mad that people are pushing an agenda?
There's nothing more fucking performative than, well, I need my conservative water.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to piss out conservative politics later on today.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So
they're like, our politics are shitty. Now they can be pissy too.
This podcast sponsored by Freedom 2.0. We've got a couple.
What does the packaging look like? Did anybody Google anything?
No.
I want to know what the packaging looks like. Permission to Google.
Deanna, I'm going to save you some time. It's probably a bottle of water that says Freedom 2.0 on it. But go ahead.
I want to know.
Here's what I just want to say. Let's make woke water.
Oh, the water does, the bottle does have this phrase printed on some of the labels. I don't know if it's all of them, where it says, quote, this water isn't free, but your speech is, end quote.
Okay, there's a billboard that says this water ain't woke, which is confusing. What else does it say on the packaging? Freedom to speak, freedom to drink. Ooh, some of the bottles say, like, on one side they say freedom 2.0, and on the other side it says this water isn't sleepy. That's incredible.
Water isn't sleepy.
You can't deprogram water. Oh, you can't deprogram freedom. Okay, features and benefits of this water: reverse osmosis, O3 ozonation, ultraviolet filtration, 432 hertz frequency. What does that even mean?
What the
5G?
5G, 5G, or no, well, anti-5G water probably.
Are there microplastics in it?
Water for deplorables. Wow.
Yeah, so moving on. Okay, this story is kind of sad.
Oh.
But it's also so fun. This week, what?
Okay. They have...
God damn.
They have... a Yeti cup. It's a red Yeti cup that says Freedom 2.0 on it. And then on the other side, it says this drink ain't woke. And on some models of it, it says the taste of freedom. I think making a Yeti. And then they made a post that said water isn't political. These people are all over the place.
I agree.
Water isn't political.
Yeah.
On a red, white, and blue... on a red, white, and blue backdrop. I actually love this. These people are, again, deranged. This water isn't free, but your speech is... incredible. Anyways, moving on. Go on.
Can we move on?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'll be done. Yeah.
This week, two off-duty New York firefighters died in one of the shittiest ways possible. They fell into a manure tank.
Oh, no.
Here's the thing. This is sad. Firefighters, I mean, they're not like all cool, but they're like way cooler than cops for the, you know, just on average or what have you. And, you know, I don't want to like dunk on these firefighters who drowned in shit. But I felt that we literally had to cover this story because one of the officers or one of the firefighters who drowned in shit was named Nathan Duty.
Not Nathan Duty.
Not Duty died in dung. What happened?
Duty did.
Duty down. Duty down.
How was it?
Duty got
it. Was it spelled D-O-O-D-Y, D-O-O-D-I-E, D-U-T-Y?
It was spelled D-O-O-D-Y.
Oh.
Pronounced duty.
He did his duty.
He did his duty till the duty did him, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He died in shit, folks. Yeah. So
how did he fall into the... how did they get into the shit tank?
Who the fuck cares?
Me! I have questions. I gotta stop.
I don't have the answers.
I gotta stop getting my news from you. I gotta start finding out about stuff.
I was about to say...
I'm gonna go ahead and assume it was an accident.
Yeah, but I meant like what kind? Like, why were they by the shit tank? Why was the shit tank
open?
None of
these details matter.
Yes, they do.
No, I actually. So I was gonna say, I don't have questions this time, but I almost said I don't have questions this year.
Yeah, and that actually is better.
And yeah, that's speaking to me now. So that's where I'm at.
No further questions. 52
weeks without a question. That's got to feel good.
I actually would love to just have no questions.
I don't think I've ever gone 52 seconds without a question.
I have so many questions right now.
and you are not getting the answers. No, we've got a few international stories. I've got one. Kennedy's got one. Maybe I've got two. So I want to begin with this. This story is out of Australia, down under, mate. G'day. After weeks of reports.
G'day.
After weeks of reports that a giant 12-foot crocodile was eating people's dogs and chasing around children, police in the town of Boolia in Australia's Northern Territory shot the crocodile dead. But then they did something a little bit different. After they killed the crocodile, the entire town gathered and they cooked and ate it.
I
the town feasted on this crocodile that was terrorizing
them. You know what? That's legit.
I mean, I guess you don't want it to go to waste, but it is pretty wild to get like justice and then taken another step. Like, we've ended the reign of terror and now we're doing our own. Like,
I mean, remember when that elephant trampled that lady and then came back and trampled her again at her funeral?
Yes, that friend of the pod, that elephant.
Yeah, so this is that, but the other way around and with an alligator.
Yeah,
love that elephant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder how he's doing these
days. Rest in peace to that alligator.
Yeah. Rest in sauce. So, Kennedy, you've got a story for us from not down on that, but across the pond, isn't it? What do you got for us today?
Well, it's in Denmark, so...
That's London, basically.
Basically London, yes. That's what I was going to say. I was going to say, it's in Denmark, therefore, your accent was perfect.
Oh, if it's in Denmark, it's probably like this, actually.
No, that sounds more like...
The Swedish chef on Sesame Street, actually.
Or maybe...
Was that the Muppets?
Ooh. I think it was the Muppets.
You are a fucking Muppet. Go on.
So, have either of y'all had Bulldak Ramen?
No, I don't think so. What's in Bulldak Ramen?
It's a popular Korean brand. The company that makes it is Samyang, who also makes some other foods that you might have seen.
No, I don't think so.
In places, possibly. I don't mean you, obviously, at this point. I mean the listeners.
Somebody
that's listened to this has eaten this ramen because it has like a mild meme status. It's not like an extreme meme thing, but it is just like, yo, this ramen's really fucking spicy.
Heterosexual extreme meme month.
In Denmark.
I've seen this before. I looked up a picture of it.
Up all kind of stuff in the new apartment. We're turning over a new leaf. What's next?
This show's crazy now.
next week, I'm going to get you to do some math.
So I have some of this ramen in my house right now. It is quite spicy. I don't eat it all the time because it's pretty hot. But, you know, when you're craving the spice, it's great. However, in Denmark, they have recalled several spicy ramen noodle products by Samyang, claiming that the capsaicin levels in them could poison you. They recalled the Bulldak. They recalled the Bulldak 3X spicy, hot chicken 2X spicy, and hot chicken stew. All have been recalled. And also, I just want to point this out that Bulldak makes a 4X spicy.
Ooh.
It's hard to find.
And that one hasn't been recalled?
No, I think the implication here is you can't get it in Denmark. That the 4X spicy is not available, has never been available in Denmark because it could kill... It could kill somebody.
I mean, I don't think anything is spicy in Denmark. I can't think of one spicy Danish thing.
So
I just want to be clear. This was not in any way a problem with the quality of the food. Samyang said in a statement, "We understand that the Danish Food Authority recalled the products not because of a problem in their quality, but because they were too spicy." End quote. The products are being exported globally, but this is the first time they have been recalled for this reason. Also, the official said.
It is
unknown. I just want to say the article goes on to say it is unknown if any specific incident in Denmark had prompted authorities to take action. So it seems like they just did this.
I think I know what happened. The Danish, let's say, president? No, maybe prime minister. Who cares? The Swedish fish. he sat down one day and ate a pot of whatever ramen.
Bulldog
ramen. I wanted to say Dunbar, which is a movie I think about World War I. Anyways. The Swedish fish sat down and ate a package of Bulldog ramen, and he was like, "That was pretty good, but it was really spicy." But then he went and took like the spicy shit afterwards, and then he was like, "This is we can't allow this." Like, because here's the thing: I don't know if you know this about Denmark. I know neither of you have been, neither have I, but I'm really good at guessing. They only have one ply toilet paper there, and it is rough.
Ooh, yeah. You can't have a spicy butt.
Yeah.
You can't have hot butt and one ply.
Yeah, no, it's like basically like low grade sandpaper, and you don't want that on a hot butt hole. So, you know, I think for a matter of public safety, he made the right call. But it is some coward shit, and, you know.
So apparently
it's just crazy that there was no incident that led to this.
No, like, incident we know about. I'm telling you, the Danish prime minister had fire butt.
So
I agree with you. My thought was also it wasn't the prime minister in my case, but I was thinking somebody who works at the food administration in Denmark was like, "I ate this spicy and I had to go to the hospital."
The queen of Denmark had a lava shit.
So I think this ties back to that one chip challenge kid that died in Massachusetts.
Allegedly.
And then some other kids got sick in Germany from the one chip. And apparently this ramen has a higher capsaicin level than that one chip. And the Danish regulators said that children and frail adults...
Which is like 80% of the population of Denmark.
Particularly vulnerable.
Right after this podcast, I'm making a bowl of Bulldog ramen. I'm not fucking scared.
Most people who live in Denmark actually look like scarecrows. It's really fucked up over there. So I get it, you know?
Yeah, I don't.
Everybody's also really dry. So like, I know that spicy food doesn't like create a spark, but like if it did, whole country goes up in a matter of seconds. So
they just want to ruin memes. They don't want people to do fun challenges online anymore. They don't want the girls having fun. This is like, you know, out banning spicy stuff. What's next? I want an anti-woke spicy ramen.
Okay, yeah. But also the one chip challenge. And ramen. the one chip challenge is all that capsaicin on one tortilla chip. This is spread over a whole bowl of ramen, okay?
Also, I did the one chip challenge and I didn't die because I'm not a fucking pussy baby or a frail adult.
Well,
I'm a very sturdy adult baby.
Yeah.
It was unpleasant, though.
Just to move on here, because I do have to go to work. Just a quick update to a story we talked about last week. Last week, we began the show by talking about how Israel did a hostage rescue mission that killed hundreds of Palestinians. And we reported that they may have used the United States-built aid pier in order to carry out that operation. And so I just want to issue a correction. According to the United States State Department, they did not do that. So everything's fine. The State Department said we didn't, so I'm sure that's, you know, what else do you need? Wait, we said nuh-uh. So I'll take that. Sure. Also, just a quick update. We talked, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago about how Biden like said that Israel proposed a ceasefire, but then Israel was like, that wasn't us, dog. We don't want that shit. And so Anthony Blinken is over in the Middle East trying to get this deal done. But like, once again, like both Israel and now Hamas also are not agreeing to the terms in this. But like they're pushing it like Israel's already accepted. Like it's just on Hamas. And it's like one of the things, one of the aspects that like where there's Hamas is like, I don't want to sign this is that it gives Israel like 6 weeks to withdraw troops from Gaza. Like you can drive from one end of Gaza to the other in like an hour and 10 minutes or something. Like it does not take 6 weeks to get everybody out of there, but they just want to do that so that they can keep killing Palestinians along the way. And Hamas is like, that's unacceptable. And then the United States is like, Hamas doesn't want the peace. Like,
yeah, it would take longer to withdraw from Philadelphia during rush hour.
Literally.
Yeah. Also, I just want to say for the record, Hamas has basically agreed to the terms overall.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, again, like the things that they want are just like some things that are honestly not entirely unreasonable, such as that it be a permanent ceasefire.
Yeah.
That was one of the things that they had requested that Israel is saying, well, then it's a no-go. And it's like, okay, a temporary ceasefire doesn't mean fucking anything.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, basically, Israel's trying to find a way that they can agree to a ceasefire while still keeping the war going. And like, like I don't blame Hamas for not wanting to sign that. Like,
Israel's like, what if we did that thing where like on like how on Christmas in that one war, the soldiers from both sides had like a little Christmas party together and then just started up again right after. Israel's like, what if we did that? Like, what if we just did a Sunday fun day ceasefire, but then on Monday we get it popping once again.
Yeah. Everybody deserves a weekend, but then on Monday it's back to work.
Yeah. They're like, let the babies brunch. Let's do that. And then we'll be back to moms.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you.
Fuck you, indeed.
Fuck them for that.
But yeah, free Palestine, fuck the IDF, and fuck the United States as well.
Yeah, evil-ass motherfuckers.
Now, moving on. This week, a federal jury found that Chiquita Brands are liable for killings by Colombian paramilitary groups that they hired to crush dissent. The jury found that, you know, Chiquita paid off these Colombian paramilitaries, these right-wing paramilitaries. They were just mowing down civilians, mowing down people that didn't want to, like, work in these unfair conditions. And a federal jury found that Chiquita Brands is responsible for this. They were, the families of these people who were killed were awarded $38 million. That is what Chiquita has been fined for hiring literal death squads. Multi-billion dollar corporation, $38 million.
Not even $38 million each?
Nope. I'm going to say it, you know, brings
it's
me
not
great
nothing,
pain.
But God damn it.
$38 million for hiring death squads? That shit is bananas.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy.
I don't, you can't, you were already reaching.
Oh, okay.
That's what you get for that shit is bananas.
Well, fuck you, Deanna. Also,
you're welcome.
The company, Chiquita, after the ruling, they said, we do mourn the loss of innocent lives that happened as a result of this. Though they are also planning to appeal the verdict, and that shit is bananas. Anyways, let's move on.
Also, like, you don't mourn shit. You commissioned it. You were excited about it.
I think they're mourning that they got caught, which understandable. we've got a couple more stories here. Our next story, this is one of those where I'm like, not really sure what side I'm on. Like, I don't know who to root for in this story. And it's a bit of a journey. So like you'll understand whenever we get to the destination, why it is that I'm having such a hard time with this one. So this week, a Tesla that was on self-driving mode was totaled when it ran into a police car.
But was the police car also totaled?
It was destroyed. Yeah. No, both these cars are dead. RIP two cars.
What about the drivers?
Well, the I don't think they died. I assume that would have been the headline if a cop died from a Tesla. I don't think even Tesla would. Tesla's positive press does not beat out copaganda in this country, I don't think.
True. True. All right. Fair. Okay, so we can assume that they're alive. Then really, like, this was just the senseless killing of two automobiles.
We mourn the loss of two
innocent
cars.
I mourn the loss of innocent lives. Where did this, say again where this happened?
The United States of America. That's it.
Oh, that's it. We don't have a more specific...
I'm sure that information exists, but not in this show.
Okay, got you. I just wondered if the city was going to sue Tesla and also if they would get more than $38 million.
Wow.
It's a good question. It's a good question. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, it's like I want to root against a Tesla, you know, fucking Elon Musk piece of shit. Stupid cars, self-driving mode, doesn't actually work, and they crash in and everything. But, like, it did hit a police car, and, like, that's cool. I don't know. It's a tough one. It's a tough one. Here's the thing. Within all of us exist contradictions. That is the reality of living in the future.
Wow.
I mean, here's the thing. A Tesla is a Tesla. Like, a Tesla was born into being a Tesla, but that fucking like Dodge Challenger or whatever, like that chose to be a cop car. Okay. That was a vocational choice.
Yeah.
Being a Tesla, you're born a Tesla. Even if you put on a cop uniform on the Tesla, that's still a Tesla.
Tesla versus cop car is like the end point of nature versus nurture, you know?
Yes, I can see.
We are so dumb. All right, let's talk about our last story here. The Supreme Court, which, for those of you wondering, is not just a court with tomatoes and sour cream on it. I know some of you thought...
Okay, when you said the Supreme Court, I almost wanted to say the court of highest pico.
And here's the thing. Not only is that joke bad, I think I've made it twice in the history of the show already.
And bad that I also wanted to make it.
But I was just clarifying for our listeners because I know some of you are stupid. why else would you be listening to us? I'm sorry. I love yous. There were a couple pretty big Supreme Court cases this week. First of all, in a pretty surprising verdict, the Supreme Court upheld access to mifepristone, which is like an abortion drug, which is, I believe, used in like a vast majority of abortions. I don't know the exact statistics, but it's, you know, a large portion of them. And this is something that, like, you know, a lot of people were saying that they're surprised by this. Because, you know, of how crazy the Supreme Court has been and, you know, they overturned Roe v. Wade 2 years ago or whatever. And, like, I guess it's technically good news, but the thing is that, like, the way that this case specifically was, like, worded, it might just be that they're, like, they were wanting a case that would be, like, a little bit more precedent setting or something like that. So they,
I actually
it's
don't
kind of
agree.
Like a punt.
First of all, the Supreme Court does whatever it wants. So whatever reason they give is bullshit. All right. Whatever they put in the opinion is bullshit. Because they're incredibly corrupt. Right.
Oh, yeah.
And like for the Joe Biden student debt thing, they literally had a similar case where they didn't really have like a damaged person. And so it was the same kind of weak case. They went for it anyway.
Well, no, there are other cases currently like in process of getting to the Supreme Court that would be more like that would be more advantageous. So I think that that might
for
be
sure.
What it is.
And I mean, could it happen? Yes. But here's my opinion. The Supreme Court is not going to make illegal the type of drug that rich people use to get abortions. So over half of abortions in this country are performed using these kinds of drugs.
63% actually.
If you put the asterisk legal reported abortions next to that.
Right.
Fair. Right. And you got to remember that, like, even before Roe v. Wade was struck down, even in like blue, like a lot of blue states, like in Washington state, I knew somebody that had to get an abortion once. And there's only like two or three clinics in the whole of liberal paradise, Washington state, where you can get an actual abortion.
Yeah.
Access has always been a big issue. And so, you know, the rich people probably aren't going to make it the illegal, the thing that the Republican senators use on their mistresses, is my opinion.
True.
I mean, it's within reason. I do think that they rich people can just get anything that's illegal anyways, and it's not as big of a deal. So
Okay. It's easy to say that in theory, but in practice, even a rich person is going to like struggle to get a Quaalude, for instance, because they're not manufactured anymore. Right. If the Supreme Court says this drug is not legal to have anywhere in the United States anymore and nobody's importing or manufacturing it in the United States, it will become scarce even for rich people. The price will go up even for rich people.
Well, yeah. Anyways, like I said, people are saying that it's a really good sign. And I think like, I mean, it's not bad, but I don't think that it's like, oh, maybe they're more progressive than we thought.
No
further evidence. Another case was decided this week that, basically makes it harder for the National Labor Relations Board to protect workers.
Yeah, they're not more progressive than we thought.
Yeah, no. It's bad, folks. It's real bad. So we've already talked a lot on this podcast about specifically Clarence Thomas, but also I think a little bit about Samuel Alito getting these like insanely expensive gifts and having people, you know, subsidize their Supreme Court stays or what have you. There was another thing this week where Clarence Thomas revealed that he forgot to include like several more vacations on private jets and private yachts that Harlan Crow gave him. And like his reasoning was like, oh, yeah, like, you know, I was kind of going there anyways, so he just, like, gave me a ride. So I didn't think to include that on my disclosure form.
He just kind of gave me a ride.
Fucking insane. And then our last story about the Supreme Court is that this week, there's a journalist named Lauren Windsor, who I'd never heard of before, but apparently she's been doing this thing for a while where she's basically doing, like, Project Veritas, but from the left, and, like, a little bit of a difference is that Project Veritas will like find just some like random employee at Pfizer and then get them drunk and then like try and get them to say some shit that they can use out of context. Lauren Windsor went to an event for the Supreme Court. There's like the annual Supreme Court gala or whatever. And she just went up to Supreme Court justices and talked to them while secretly recording them. And some of the shit they said is fucking insane. So she talked to Chief Justice John Roberts. And though I don't like agree with anything he says, really, like he was kind of like, She was pretending to be like an extreme Christian conservative. So she walked up to him and was like, you know, like people say that this is like, or, you know, this is supposed to be like how our founding fathers wanted it, like a Christian country. And John Roberts, like to his very minimal credit, was like, I mean, it's not really supposed to be that. Like, you know, I've got Jewish and Muslim friends that wouldn't agree, blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, fuck him to death. He's a piece of shit. But like he was giving some like at least like moderate answers, which you wouldn't expect that from, you know, the presiding Supreme Court officer who took away abortion or whatever. He was just basically like not very ideological. So it was interesting because, like, you know, it's one thing to hear somebody in an interview. It's another thing to hear them talking to a stranger at a party.
Right.
So then she went up and started talking to Samuel Alito. And this conversation went a little different.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she started talking about how this is supposed to be a Christian nation or whatever. And, like, he just started, like, unprompted almost, like, went into this thing about how, like, there's a fundamental difference between left and right in this country and people on the right. You know, it's one of us is going to win. There is no possibility of compromise. Like, there's going to be an ideological winner. And, like, you know, we're going to do our best, blah, blah. And, like, it was, whoa, dude. Pretty insane stuff. If you want to, listeners, go actually find these. You know, a good podcast would have just played you the clips. We're not that.
A mediocre podcast would have, like, linked them in the comments on Twitter.
No, no.
We're
no.
not doing any of that. We're a bad podcast having the worst week yet, so.
Absolutely. But yeah. Then, finally, Lauren Windsor went and found Samuel Alito's wife. Now, if you remember, there was, like, Martha Ann Alito has been in the news lately because, like, first there was the report that Sam Alito was flying the American flag upside down after January 6th. And then, like, he gave this whole story where he was like, no, no, that was my wife. That wasn't me, blah, blah, blah. And it sounded like a cop out. Then I heard his wife speak. And this journalist, again, like, pretending to be some Christian conservative, she walks up and she starts talking about, like, oh, I'm so sorry for everything your family's going through. And Martha Ann Alito fucking launched into this whole tirade about how mad she is that she has to see gay pride flags. And she started talking about, she's like, you know what I'm going to do? What I have to do is, like, I have fun in my mind. So I've created my own flag that I want to do where, it's an all white flag. And then there's flames and within the flames, it just says, the word for shame in Italian, which I think is like vergogna or something. And she kept saying like vergogna. Like,
okay. But here's the thing, that bar in Idaho could take some fucking notes. Okay. She has to have fun in her mind and that's what she came up with. And it's better than heterosexual awesomeness. Okay. Thank you for doing it right. The white flag with the hellfire and shame. Come on. That's vergogna. That has a vibe. Okay. That is creating an aesthetic around a brand. She's doing it. She's doing something I fucking hate, but she is doing it.
Martha Ann Alito also, again, this was completely unprompted, started talking shit on this journalist who wrote this article about, like, a sweater that she wore that was, like, it was, like, baby blue, but, like, I guess Martha Ann Alito said that, like, the journalist was implying that she was dressed like a baby and she was salty about it. Now, fun fact, this article came out 15 years ago, and she brought it up to a stranger at a party.
Wow.
Here's the thing. Samuel Alito is definitely a Christian nationalist piece of shit. But I think we are a little too soon to judge him for having a shit wife. Like, for throwing his wife under the bus. Like, oh, she might actually be an ideological monster as well. So...
yeah, I mean, she's
yeah, Samuel
terrible.
Alito out here, like, my bitch wife, but then you hear her talk, and you're like,
Points were made.
The other thing is, she brought up that article for 15 years ago, but she was also using the Italian word for shame. I don't know if she's an Italian, but as an Italian, grudge holding is a birthright. Like, that is our birthright. So I can understand why she was bringing up some old shit. I do understand.
No, she's German. And she brought that up too in response to, I forget exactly the context, but it was something like, it had Nazi vibes.
Oh. Yeah, no, you can't be doing, you can't be, why are you doing the Italian word for shame? What? Get out of here.
Yeah, it's just, it was an all around mess. And I encourage everybody to go listen to the people that are running the Supreme Court. And mind you, the people that are openly saying that they are ideological and Joe Biden is refusing to do a goddamn thing about. So fuck Joe Biden.
Yeah, fuck you, Joe Biden. No longer is it what the fuck, Joe Biden. It's fuck you, Joe Biden, every time.
You know, I got a word for Joe Biden.
Okay.
It's Vergonia.
Hell yeah. Well, that's all we've got for today.
Shame.
I have to go drive. Just shame. Vergonia. I have to go drive an ice cream truck, but do either of you two have anything that you want people to check out before we go?
My request to our listeners would be check yourself before you wreck yourself. Just generally speaking.
Sound advice. Sound advice.
For sure. Also, make sure that if you're talking to someone at a party, they're not an reporter in disguise and that you're not going on a racist tirade.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know what? I would say
the safe thing to do is just never go on racist tirades.
Yeah.
That's my stance.
Also,
I
not even
know
in
where
your mind.
Some of you stand.
Even when you're trying to have fun in your mind, a racist tirade isn't the way.
Yes, your mind is also the perfect place for Vergonia.
That is, in fact, where I store all of mine.
Yeah, the Vergonia is stored in the mind for sure.
So we got head on over to patreon.com/worstweekyet to support the show. Send us emails if you want, worstweekyet@gmail.com. And more important than all that bullshit, tune in again next week for more bad news.
Bye.